I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Fangirl Radio.
Mothers, lock up your sons. The fangirls are busting out all over. It's Fangirl Radio.
Fangirl Radio.
Here's the fangirls on Jackalope Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this latest and greatest edition of the Fangirl Radio Show. I'm your host, Jessica Dwyer, and with me tonight, as always, is my Robin, my girl wonder, if you will, Ren Willox.
Hello. I'm not sure if I like that analogy.
You don't want to wear green tights?
That's part of it.
Well, I'm Batman, don't you see? It works. Yes, it does.
Well, but if you're Batman, how come I can't be like Magneto?
Would you rather be a supervillain than my cohort in the Batmobile?
He's
Are you wanting to be my nemesis?
Is he's that not a supervillain anymore. He's a very complicated man.
Okay, I'm gonna try and figure out how we got into Magneto after I referenced DC and you picked Magneto.
Quite possibly nobody is lamer than Robin.
Robin kicked the Green Lantern's ass. Okay, Robin did.
Tell me when he does something impressive.
Oh, my God. Moving on. We'll never settle this. So, anyway, tonight's episode is very, very special because I am so excited. We are going to have Mr. Dan Roebuck on as our interview for tonight. If you don't know this about Dan Roebuck, you need to go check out danielroebuck.com and look at what this man has. If you did not know about Dan Roebuck, he is one of the biggest horror movie geeks around. The man has a lair filled with nothing but masks, costumes, goodies, collectibles. I need to find out where it is and ransack it. It is amazing. And not only that, but Dan Roebuck has been in so many things over the years. He's just got a list of films and television that he's been in. He's one of those great character actors everyone goes to for roles. And he's also been in the second series of webisodes for The Walking Dead. He's been in numerous horror films. He is himself a horror movie host, Dr. Shocker. And he is going to be appearing and hopefully the Lords of Salem, as well as he's been in a couple of Rob Zombie's other works, including Halloween. And Dan is the man, and he's going to be at Horror Hound Weekend next week. Of course, geeking out with the rest of us. And we're going to have Dan on to talk about conventions, horror films, and his career. So I am very excited about this. He is an awesome actor. But before we get into that, we have to do Weekend Geek. And this weekend, we had a couple of amazing episodes of course, the two shows that we always talk about. One is The Walking Dead, of course, and the other is Once Upon a Time. And you know Once Upon a Time's doing it right when it's a Rumple, Stiltskin-centric episode. But this one gave us a lot of background and some yummy, tasty angst to chew on. But before we get into Once Upon a Time, we have to talk about Walking Dead. And Ren has not yet seen it.
Curse you, Xbox! Curse you! I have been foiled by my... I am trying to be legit. I'm trying to go straight, people. I'm trying not to be a nasty pirate yar, and I am suffering for it.
So honesty does not pay, apparently. Mm-hmm. Nope. At least with the Xbox Live. So the Walking Dead episode, the recap and review for Arrow on the Doorstep is up on fangirlmag.com. But I really wanted to talk about the episode just because I feel that I wanted to be devil's advocate in this and what is going on with Andrea. Andrea has become pretty much the Lori of the season, the girl everyone loves to hate.
And I've always hated Andrea.
Well, the thing with Andrea that this season especially, she's in between a rock and a hard place, and I believe that Rick even stated...
Oh! Unintentional pun, sorry.
funny. So anyway, it's one of those things that you've got to think about what Andrea's been through and what you would do in this situation. She has lost everyone. Her sister, she had to shoot her after she was turned. Dale took away from her choice. She knew her parents were dead. Her whole family was gone. She had no one but the crew at the time. And they were given a choice. Now, Dale didn't care about the other lady that decided to take her life. He Right. only cared about Andrea. And he guilted Andrea into staying alive. Well, then what happens to Dale? Dale dies. Shane is killed. She doesn't even know about that, but she hooks up with Shane and then finds out later that he died. Well, when everything goes to hell at the...
And Michonne left. That was like her last friend.
Right, right. And when everything goes to hell at the barn and at the farm, they leave her. She's abandoned. She runs into Michonne. She and Michonne form a bond, and they live for a year on their own with the two pets. And so then what happens there? They find a place. She finds a place that looks like it's going to be stable. Woodbury looks stable. You have this man in the governor who she sees as, wow, this is a man that wants to keep everyone together. He wants to keep everyone safe. He's a leader. She gravitates to him, falls for him, sees this as a place of normalcy, and there's a togetherness in this town. Mm-hmm. So then what happens? It turns out that that's all bullshit. And so then he ends up going back and visiting the prison, and, you know, they don't want her back because she's hooked up with this crew. It's back and forth, and then Michonne's like, tells her, you know, you gave me up for a warm bed. But at the same time, you know, if you were in that situation, what would you do? I mean, think of all of that and what it's added up to in her head, and then decide what you would do. What would you go for? If it were you, you most likely want to go with, well, I don't know all of the details, but this is safety. This is a town, mm-hmm. a group of people. You know, these people left me. You know, and so it's one of those things where I can almost understand Andrea, and, you know, the hate for Andrea should not be as, I get it. But at the same time, put yourself in Andrea's shoes and think about it for a minute of what she's gone through and where she's at. I can almost see it and get it.
But anyway. You know, it's the way you described it is, you know, you come to the city, whatever the heck it's called, and you don't know all the details, but, and really that's the knife edge that divides two different kinds of people. And Michonne hears, we don't know all the details, and is that's the breaking, you know, that's the deal breaker for her.
Right.
And then Andrea falls on the other side of that edge of, I don't know all the details, but look, on the other side, there's this potential. So there's really a huge choice to make in, you know, are you the kind of person who's going to take a chance on something like that where you don't know everything that's going on, but regardless of what may be going on, you want to see if you can make it work. And Andrea is that kind of person. She wanted to see if she could make it work for her.
Right. And you got to remember, too, what happened with Andrea and Michonne when they first ran into the people from Woodbury. The the just no hesitation, Michonne kills those two pets that have, and Andrea's reaction of those guys kept us alive for months. And you had them with you forever. And unbeknownst to those who have not read the comic, I believe one of them is her boyfriend that died.
I wondered if there might be a personal connection there.
Right, right. One of them, I believe, is her dead boyfriend. And without a moment's hesitation, Michonne kills them. And Andrea's reaction to that is, they were with us for months. Who's going to look more like the psychopath at that point? Even if you have been with this person for a year, the fact that she just on a hair, just a split second decision kills these two, destroys them, that have been their safety and have been with them for so long, almost like they're dogs. It's sort of, you know, I can see that reaction of Andrea going, "Whoa," you know, like, "Hello. What would you do to me if you thought I was not kosher anymore?"
Well, and it's also the reaction of an individual who's used to weighing out the facts in front of them before making a split, you know, before making a decision. She doesn't make split decisions. And
right,
that comes from her background of an academic. She's a lawyer. She's a learned person. So Michonne is on the other side of that. Michonne will make a decision in less than a second.
She's all instinct. That's exactly. The thing. Andrea is intellect. Michonne is instinct.
Andrea doubts her.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. I can actually get Andrea and why she's in the position she's in. But I think what you're going to see upcoming is Andrea is going to start becoming the badass from the comic books. I think we're going to finally get Andrea, because she's already a tough little shit.
She's shot too.
Yeah, but I think what's going to happen with in the you know, when they showed the preview of one of the scenes, is we're going to see badass Andrea come out, because she's going to be done. She's going to have had it. So it's going to be fun. And a lot of people think he's going to kill the governor. I don't think it's going to be her. I think honestly, I would love for it to be Milton. And I think that would be a nice turn for that character to have happen.
He's got no beef with the governor, though. Milton. Sorry.
Yes, his right-hand man. I think that would be brilliant. Because Milton hasn't really shown a spine, but I think the conscience within him is going to come out, and he's going to realize, I've been helping this psychopath, and I need to stop it. I bet they both die.
Well, he has to grow. Yeah, he knows the depths of the evil of the man that he serves, and he's too afraid to stand up against him. So that
I think he's. I think
this
whole
is that actor. How good is that guy?
Oh, Dallas Roberts, I believe is his name, and he's great. The thing that because you haven't seen this week's episode.
I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, Xbox, yes. But what happens in this one is so great, with the bonding between the troops of both sides, and you know it's all going to be for naught, because there is going to be a battle, and it's going to be bloody, and it's going to be horrible. But you what happens is, with that morality, that the moral battle that Rick's having to deal with right now, with the governor asking for Michonne, as you give me Michonne, I let you all live. And it's you know, from the comics, if you've read the comics, the governor Michonne, it's not pretty what happens at all to either party. Michonne comes out the winner, sort of, in one way, as she's still alive, but it's not pretty. And I think that Milton, he's, and from the preview that we saw too, it's going to push him over that edge of, this is not right. So I can't wait. But yeah, I had to bring up the whole Andrea thing, because I thought that was important. The other thing I wanted to talk about really quickly, because I know Rin's got some stuff he wants to talk about as well, is the Once Upon a Time episode that we had this weekend was one of the best ever. It was brilliant. It was great. It has changed the course of the show, and in two ways. One, we find out the real depth of history between Rumpelstiltskin, Cora, the Queen of Hearts, and Regina, the evil queen, and that whole history with Snow White and where all of that came from and how they're so closely connected. But on top of that, Snow White kills someone, knowingly kills someone, and it's going to F her up. I can tell you that. And plus, the person that she's killed is Regina's mother. So it's like, well, you killed my mom, I kill yours kind of thing. But Regina is the evil queen and has no one left. The only person that she loves left in the world is Henry. And he's with mom and dad now. You know, and Snow White has her whole family. So Regina has nothing left to lose. And so that last look at Snow White as she realizes what has happened is not a loving one. And I love the whole back history. And Rose McGowan, man, she nailed being Lena Headey for a young Lena Headey. That was great. Really, really well done casting there. And she performed that role awesome. And watching her in Rumpelstiltskin was hot. I'm sorry. There was some hotness. And my catchphrase for this one is the spinning wheel greater than the pottery wheel, if anyone has seen Ghost. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, it was an awesome episode. Absolutely loved it. Robert Carlyle, this needs to be on his Emmy request video, his performance when he calls, because he's dying. You think Rumpelstiltskin's going to die. And so he decides to call Belle and tell her that he loves her and to remind her of who she is because she's lost her memory. It's so well done. And Carlyle sells it. And then Robert, oh God, I can never remember his last name. He's in everything though as well. He's one of those guys who's playing older Bay, Bellfire. That scene between them is great too. It's just the whole episode was really well done. Even Emma wasn't annoying to me in this one. So I loved it. You really should watch it. Great episode of Once Upon a Time. And I can't wait to see what they have for, because there's only a few episodes left this season. It's kind of scary now that we're March and I'm realizing that all my shows are about to end.
No, but the sun is coming.
Game of Thrones is coming.
Game of Thrones is coming.
And then Hannibal. Yes, winter is coming. And Hannibal's going to be starting. And there's some other good stuff, too, coming out. And I'm excited for that. So, but yes, Bates Motel starts this month. We got shows to replace them, but man, it's just when they're getting good, it seems like the end of the season's coming. So, but Rin, you had a couple of things.
Well, I watched a show. Speaking of things that will, you know, help us bide that time between our other favorite shows, this might be one of my new favorite shows. I watch so very, very few of them. I watched the first episode free on the Xbox. Sometimes the Xbox giveth and the Xbox taketh.
The damn Xbox.
And the other day it gaveth me Vikings, and I was really excited about it. And I didn't know anything about it when I saw it, but I was more kind of intrigued the more I learned about it. It's actually a fictional series, a miniseries, by the History Channel, if you can believe it or not, who previously did the Hatfields and McCoys, or Hatfields versus, no, and the McCoys, which a lot of people really, really liked. This is a period piece about the Vikings. And it follows a guy whose life is very wrapped up in a lot of Scandinavian lore. So it follows a lot of real people in history, and it follows a lot of the Norse mythology as well. And because it's the History Channel, it made a lot of sense to me because I was really captivated by the realism of it. And it's beautiful, for one thing. It's beautifully shot. Wherever they're filming is gorgeous. It's not like any other kind of, you know, familiar New Zealand landscape, because that's where they shoot all these things. Not that I don't miss my old home, but it's beautiful. And things that really caught my eye are the authenticity of like what they're wearing and the buildings that they're in and the metalwork around them. And I get really happy when I see stuff like that because it really draws me in. I hate seeing the kind of like classical historic era crap that you see on like all the Xena type shows, which no one makes anymore. But back when they did, it was like the same leather shirts on everybody, you know, and that kind of crap. And this isn't like that. These are like real pelts, or at least they look damn near like real pelts. And the metalwork, like I was saying, is authentic and period. And it's on purpose because it's the History Channel. They are taking actual, concerted efforts to make this look very, very historic and real. And on top of that, it's a really great story. So the main character, Ragnar, wants to go west to new lands where no one's ever kind of explored before. They every year they go on raids, as you do when you're a Viking, and they've been going east every single year, and of course you raid the same place over and over and over again, and they have less and less stuff to take home. So Ragnar wants to go west, but the Earl does not want, because it's the Earl's boats, it's his choice, and he says no, and Ragnar has a friend named Floki, not Loki, it's Floki, but close enough, who's a little bit crazy, and he's a boat builder, and he's built him a boat to go west, and he's also, Ragnar met another weird guy, I don't know who he was, who showed him how to measure longitude is easy, it was the latitude that's the hard part, how far north or south are you when sailing west. So, correct me if I'm wrong on that later on the internet, but still, anyway, very exciting stuff.
I like the fact that they have, like, I know they were talking about, they actually have things like the sunstones that allowed them to...
Yes, yeah, so that was the like question, that. Is if you're using the shadow of the sun to measure your, I'm going to say longitude if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, longitude, what happens on days when it's overcast and you can't see the sun? Well, so there's the sunstone, and it looks like kind of a large, flat piece of... semi-transparent marble kind of ish, but you hold it up to the sky and the sun's outline, the disk of the sun, will kind of shine through that rock, against the gray, and you'll see the dot, you'll see the disk of the sun when looking through this rock, which is, again, that's historic, that's period, that's real, they use those. So this is going to get really exciting when he defies the Earl, or since I'm playing Skyrim, I'm calling him in my head the Jarl. And
by the way, Gabriel Byrne.
He's so good at being extremely menacing while talking in very, very, all I can think of is dulcet, but that's not the word I want. But, you know, very measured tones, very pretty. Calm, but you can tell he's just ready to bite your head off underneath. He's fantastic.
He's pretty.
Because he's pretty. I think it's great. I'm sad to hear it's a mini series, and it's got, I mean, maybe that means they planned out a nice happy ending for us, you know, a good story arc. But I would like there to be more because it's quite nice. So yeah, watch the first episode free on the Xbox, then watch the rest of it on the History Channel.
Yeah, and you can actually watch, I think, on the HistoryChannel.com has the first two episodes up.
Nice.
That you can watch. I am a fan of History Channel docudrama kind of stuff. It's and this one's great. I really love
it. Cool, they did interaction with gods too. Like Ragnar keeps almost seeing Odin walking around as a cowled man with crows all around him. It's very kind of weird and cool.
Yeah, and I saw that in the first episode when the battlefield, and they were taking them up to Valhalla, I guess.
Coming out of
and it was, yeah, it's stuff. A really neat show. I hope they. Another thing, if you're interested, if this got you interested in the Vikings, if you go on iTunes, there is a series that the History Channel, I believe it was, did that was narrated by Clancy Brown, the Kurgan, that does each episode focuses on a warrior group throughout history. The first one is the Vikings. The Huns are on there. The Celts are on there, I believe. And the Khans as well. So it's really great. And you can download the entire series, I think, for like $10. Nice. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. So I think it's time to bring on our guest for the night. So, Amanda, if you would, that would be great. Give him a ring-a-ding. Great. Well, everyone, I want you to welcome Mr. Daniel Roebuck. He is one of the coolest actors around. You've probably seen him. If you don't know the name, you'll know the face. He's one of the go-to character actors in Hollywood. And Dan's also a fellow horror geek of the First Order. I was looking, by the way, Dan, I was looking at your website, and I need to know where you. I need to know where you live. So.
You can come visit any time. It is funny, like my love for this stuff, I've loved it for so long, and lately I've been starting to get the feeling that I need a little less of it. So I have been letting some of it go. But if your viewers go to DanielRoebuck.com, and on the bottom they follow the link to House of Horror, I said horror, not the other word. they can see what the museum looked like at its, you know, at its, in the, I always think like it was Camelot, like in that, he said for one brief shining moment, it was called Camelot. And that's what Dr. Shaka's House of Horror was. But anyway, so much to talk about.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask first for sure was, what got your interest? I got it from my sister and growing up with a mom that would show me horror movies when I really shouldn't be seeing them. And how did your love of the horror film start?
Well, you know, we had in our hometown, everybody has their horror host. And we had Dr. Shock. He was the guy who showed us the monster movies on Saturday nights and then eventually Saturday afternoons. And I love Dr. Shock because he was a magician and he did the magic and he showed the monster movies, the Shock Theater package. My love is really the older movies like Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula. If anybody follows, like my hobby, it's really the older stuff. I am blessed that I get, you know, to be in a movie where I'm killed by Michael Myers. And that's cool, but, you know, I really do like the old-style movie, Frankenstein, Wolfman, like that. Gothic horror.
You really have, like, the masks and things and the toys. It's just amazing what you've collected. And I have to tell you, your collection, I've been to the Acker Mansion before it went away. I went back when Forey was in his heyday, and I almost feel blasphemous saying this, but your house and collection kind of overshadows Forey's a little.
Well, that's a very kind. You know, my parents might overshadow Forey, but I could never overshadow Forey. He was a force to be reckoned with. Well, and here's, girl, this is something, now, this is a very interesting thing. Now, Forey Ackerman, and if you guys and your listeners don't know who he is, he was the editor of Famous Monsters Magazine, not really the creator, but the editor of Famous Monsters Magazine, which is a Bible for anybody who's 60 years old down to about 45 or so. Then it was gone, really. So if you were 39, you probably didn't read it. But Forey had no kids. And one of the other great collectors, Bob Burns, you know, has an amazing collection, has no kids. Yours truly has two kids that I got to get through college. So one day, you know, it was like, oh, wait, if I just get rid of this stuff, they can kind of go to school. So that's where things change, the damn little brats, you know. This little succubus is the little parasites, Grace and Buster, they take. That's just such a joke because I've got a 7-year-old daughter named Grace and a 15-year-old boy named Buster. And they're both in student council and they're leaders and they're good kids. So whatever.
I'm gonna tell him you just called them succubuses though.
Yeah, no. You know, when that probably wouldn't surprise them, but So we're not here to talk about my those little parasitic aliens that have sucked the life out of me. We're here to talk about monster movies and Horror Hound Weekend.
Yes, yes. But I have to say, I love what you do with Dr. Shocker, because I was telling everyone that you were actually a horror movie host in your own right. You had a series that you hosted with that talked about this, and you did that wonderful film that went around showcasing haunts in America.
We did. Chuck Williams and I made Halloween, The Happy Haunting of America, and then we did Volume 2, and now we're actually working on Dr. Shocker's Vault of Horror, which is a cornucopia of horrific elements. There'll be a documentary about collecting monsters, and we just did this past Halloween. There's a theater in town that I did a live Dr. Shocker show for, and they were showing Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and they asked myself and a buddy, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, what can you do? So, like, sometimes there's that little flash of lightning that you don't understand, and I went, oh my God, they're showing it a week and a half before the election, and it's called Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. So I said, what about Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, the presidential debate?
That's genius. It's crazy.
And they were like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. But let's do it. So if your listeners go to, when we're done, the other place you can go to get all Dr. Shocker information is docshocker.com. docshocker.com. And ladies, when you're done watching, you can put the debate on. We were nominated for a Rondo Award this year. So we put the debate on in full. So you can see, you know, in a 15-minute presentation, what we're talking about. And I think anybody who likes old horror movies will be entertained by it. I pray they will. I hope they will.
That's awesome. So have you actually heard about, they actually are greenlighting a movie called Monster X that one of Dweezil Zappa, not Dweezil Zappa, but Frank Zappa's son, Amit, I believe wrote it. And it's they're calling it the Avengers of the classic monsters.
Oh, interesting.
And I just read about this today. Yeah, it's gonna interesting.
I wish I was more involved in Hollywood so I could learn these things. But no, that's a joke, of course. I'd be curious to know more about it, but it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited. It sounds, the reason I mentioned it, it sounds like something you would totally be into. And maybe you can get a role in it, which would be even better.
And maybe it's always weird that when the monsters are like, when, remember Godzilla used to be Godzilla, and then sometime in the 70s, like after Mothra, when the Smog Monster came, all of a sudden he was working with the Japanese, and
right,
I guess they weren't holding any grudges. They weren't like, well, you actually crushed the entire village. The village I grew up in, they were fine with it. So hopefully the monsters aren't coming together to save mankind. That seems like a bad idea.
That's what's going to happen, though.
Well, then let's not be on record. Let's say, I think that's a great idea, and I can't wait to see what Roy will say.
Daniel Roebuck fully supports this idea.
Dan Roebuck says, Monster X, yes! I really love what you do with Dr. Shocker, and now you've become kind of part of Horror Hound Weekend, because how many, I think you've done at least one or two now, and you're going to be there next week. I believe it is March 22nd. We're going to be at the Jeromeville Convention Center, and you're going to be on hand walking around and meeting the fans.
I am so... See, I make one comment about Monster X, and they're already trying to get me. They're already trying. The Hollywood elite has realized that I love Monster X. I love Monster X. Please don't kill my children.
We heard him say it.
They heard you yeah. over the. They have. I think every actor in Hollywood has a bugged phone. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, it is funny that they, you know, you go to a studio, and they, you know, getting into a studio now after the terrible incidents of 9/11, are, you know, you know, you've got to show the ID and have the, and it takes a long time. And I always think, what doesn't the government understand about actors? Like, there'd be an actor who would work for 30 years taking crappy parts and working as an extra to begin and doing crappy theater, all so one day he could get on the lot and bomb it. And I'm just thinking, would give up their career?
They overhear someone saying that movie's going to bomb, and then all of a sudden, Homeland Security is jumping on top of it.
I said, the movie, yeah. It's just so strange.
I don't know. If all you've been doing is horrible parts all your life, then maybe 1,000 virgins in the afterlife sounds okay.
Maybe it sounds okay, you know. And luckily, that's other actors. Me, I go, I had Andy Griffith, you know, I got to work with him. I got to work with Tanya Jones House. That's better than the afterlife.
I was gonna
ask you about Matlock. That was like my favorite show.
Come ever. On.
Love Matlock.
Well, you're gonna have to tell me your age. How old are you, Ren?
This afternoon, I turned 30.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yay.
Another Pisces. I turned 50 the other day.
Hey, there you go. Yes, I was.
I turned 50.
See, I started out being a law nerd early. I loved my procedurals.
Wow. Yeah, now everyone's into it. But, yeah, back in the day, it was me and Matlock trying to figure stuff out. And I was always a stupid one. So I'm glad you like Matlock. Do you know what? I love that, and I can tell you that was 3 of the best years of my life. No doubt about it.
That's awesome. I know my dad and I used to watch it, and he still watches it. It comes on like every morning, and when I'm going to be seeing him next week, and I can almost guarantee you Matlock is going to be on the TV when I wake up in the morning.
Get up. There's your friend. They came out, my season started coming out last year on DVD, so they sent the DVD, and, you know, I put on a few to show my kids who, you know, were just not that entertained, but I was entertained to see it, because you never really saw something more than the one time it was on.
Right.
You know, there were VCRs, of course, but it just wasn't my way to kind of watch myself again and again. So it was interesting to put the disc in and go, oh, my God. Like, I don't remember that scene, but I remember exactly where I was parked that day when we shot it, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
Strange. Very strange. Yes.
Well, I was going to ask you, I was actually talking to my editor at Horror Hound, and we were discussing your career, and you've been, well, for instance, recently you did the Walking Dead webisodes, which were amazing, by the way.
Thank you. Those were
great.
And again, if the listeners haven't seen them, they can just look up Walking Dead 2013 or 2012, I guess it was, webisodes, and they can watch them all. It takes like 12 minutes to see all four of them.
Yeah, and they're really well done. Greg Nicotero directed them again. I love
Greg. Great, and he's a great guy and a great director. It's about time, honestly. It's about time that he's going to get his due in that field. Because, you know, Howard and he and Robert Kurtzman initially, the three partners of Can Be, you know, they were doing groundbreaking work, and they continue to do so. And, you know, Greg is just, he's always been a director. He just had to, you know, be a makeup guy first.
Right, and he's made all the connections.
Anyway.
he's made all those great connections in Hollywood thanks to that, and now he's getting to come into his own. And are you, I can't remember, were you part of that classic movie short that he did, the Universal Horror Age?
I was not, and I think that was about the timing. I know we talked about it, and then I think I was out of town. You know, when you do something like that, you're talking about the Universal Monster Talent Agency.
Which
is a very, very silly, funny short film that Greg directed with, you know, the greatest special effects you'll ever see in a short film, really ever. I was not in that, but certainly, you know, was jealous afterward that I wasn't.
But
we were saying The Walking Dead. Well, I got to do that.
Right, and you play a very not nice man, and you've done a couple of roles where you aren't very nice, but you're such a nice guy. And I was just thinking that was funny because you've been talking about, I don't know why they keep putting me in these roles. I'm such a sleazebag.
Well, it is weird. Like, you know, when you think of, you know, the Dr. Arst from Lost, and the guy who played on Nash Bridges, Patina, was a bit of an, are we allowed to say ass? He was an ass. you know, certainly the guy in The Walking Dead was an ass. You know, I don't know why I am the guy. Why? When did I become the go-to ass? What have I done in my life? Because I really, girls, I'm a church-going dude who does anything for anybody. You can see proof of that in my resume. Like, obviously, I'm not smart enough to say no. I'll do anything for anybody. But they make me play such jerks. I don't know.
Dan, it's because there's a show out tonight.
Say that again, Ren. I'm sorry.
I said it's because you've got such a sweet face. You just come off immediately as a nice guy, and so it's always a very fun reversal to have you turn out not to be.
I guess that's the thing. There's a show on the night called Crash and Bernstein. I don't know when these things are, but like it's on the Disney XD. And in that show, I actually play a guy fighting with a boy and his best friend's a puppet over a toy. Like, even on the Disney Channel, I'm a jerk all the time.
I'll admit I'm scrolling through your IMDb kind of in awe of how much stuff you have done. But here, I've landed on one. Were you a mean guy in The Wizards of Waverly Place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on!
I like this game. Yes, I was a guy. They were doing it was cool because it was a Halloween show, and there was a guy. I was the guy who was saying if they don't do their Halloween haunt better, we were going to take it away from them.
All right, I like this game. More.
Find something else. Let's see. Randomly hit one.
This is a good game. This is a fun game.
The two-parter episode from Star Trek: Next Generation, Unification 1 and 2, where you played a character Jaren.
Well, I did kind of rough Spock up a little, but it turned out then that we were part of the rebellion working with the Vulcans. So now that we're going to cut that one right down the middle. In part one, I was an ass. In part two, it turned out that I was okay. So we're going to have to cut that one right down the middle.
Okay, I've got one. What about Monk? Larry's Wibble.
I played a. They killed me. I was such a douchebag. They killed me. They drowned me in a vat of wine.
I got a fine one.
Oh shoot! Crossing Jordan.
Crossing Jordan. Red herring turned out not to be the killer in Crossing Jordan. Uh-huh. So,
okay. Lois and Clark: The New Adventures of Superman. Kirk Meyer Jones.
I tried to take over the world and kill Superman.
Okay. I remember Invisible Man. I don't think you were too much of a prick in Invisible Man, were you?
No, in Invisible Man, I was some government guy. You know what I remember about it? Here's what I remember. They got to these scenes where I had to do pages and pages of technical stuff. And I, you know, they were so cheap ass on the Invisible Man. You, I had to take a train down to San Diego, you know, on the day we were shooting, because they didn't want to pay for the hotel room the day before, or something ridiculous. And I remember we got to those scenes at about 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, you know, to Saturday. And it was impossible. I always feel bad about that. Like, I feel like somehow I screwed that up. Hopefully they didn't hold it against me. Anyway, well, the guy's invisible. Who the hell knows?
I love The Invisible Man. It's one of my favorite Sci-Fi Channel TV shows. And, of course, they canceled it after, like, two seasons because it was too expensive for them to produce.
Yeah, I don't know why. All they had to do was, like, go, that guy's invisible. They didn't even have to have the actor there.
Throw Vincent Petresca behind a tree, and there you go.
Man.
Hey, what's he was a nice guy. And I think from Pennsylvania. What's he doing now?
He actually just was on, because I'm a fan of his. I always thought he should play Gambit in an X-Men movie, because he always looked like him to me. He just did a made-for-TV Sci-Fi Channel movie called Fly Monkeys.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So was it a Vosh thing?
I think it was, they timed it to be released right at the same time as the Oz movie came to theaters, but it's not, as far as I know, got any connection other than Flying Monkey that tries to kill people.
Other than Flying Monkey, that's coming.
That's it. Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you about Horror Hound Weekend, because I know we're getting ready to run out of time here in just a second. But how did you start getting involved with the conventions?
I came to Horror Hound initially for Mask Fest. Which was another convention that they paired up with Horror Hound. And I met, that's when I met Jason and the Horror Hound crew initially. I'm very impressed with that. You know, there's a lot of great shows in this country. Chiller is a great show. And Monsterpalooza we have out here is a great show. But Horror Hound, I mean, they're really, really well-produced. And like this one, they've got, you know, you're going to meet the people from Walking Dead, man. They're all going to be there. You meet Robert Patrick, Terminator, John Carpenter, the director. You know, I see they build me after Erwin Keyes. But that's kind of a joke, I'm sure. I know it's a nice guy.
I was way like, oh, God, what happened?
You know, I think I'm below Erwin Keyes, but I think right above the guy who eats razor blades.
You're next to Tom Savini. You're next to Savini.
Oh, yeah, I'm next to Tom Savini. I'll take that. That's a compliment. I like Tom Savini.
Tom's awesome.
So that's how I first got involved, by going to the Mask Fest portion. And then I realized that, you know, those guys are doing, Nathan is doing a great job at bringing all these great people together to celebrate this. Nobody who goes to the Sharonsville, center is going to not have a great time that weekend in Cincinnati.
Yeah, there's going to be something wrong with them. There's so much stuff. There's almost too much stuff at this show, I think, because we've got stuff overlapping, and people are going to have a hard time figuring out what they want to do.
Yeah, I think I was looking. I think the great guy, Max Adler, plays my son in Glee, or played my son in Glee, I guess. He and I, neither of us are on Glee anymore. He's got some movie about where he plays a zombie play there during the weekend, I think.
Yeah, we got a huge film festival this time that's got some pretty amazing films going on. We got like The Sightseers, The Profane Exhibit, Maniac, Manborg, Antivirus, Detention of the Dead. So we've got
Detention of the Dead. That's one next to it.
Yeah, that's a big get. We were really excited to get that one because Edgar Wright actually co-produced that. So it's Yeah, it's a, so you got your Shaun of the Dead connection there. But yeah, it's going to be a huge show. And you, you're going to be there along with like a bunch of people from House of a Thousand Corpses. And
yeah, I'm going to do, I'm actually, House of a Thousand Corpses is the only Rob Zombie movie I'm not in. But I'm going to host that panel on Friday night and host the Walking Dead panel on Saturday and then maybe do a little Dr. Shocker panel. And you know, ladies, remember, you know, people want to come say hi. You know, I'm a guy who doesn't, I don't charge for my autographs. I'm not, that's not how, that's just not my way. So anybody can come find me and I'd happily sign their posters or whatever. Because I, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'd write to Vincent Price or I'd write to Roddy McDowell. They never said, send me $20 and I'll sign that. I mean, I'm not, I have no, that sounds like I'm making a judgment on people who do. I just don't, because I'm a fan. I'm just a fan myself. So,
and I think that's part of the thing that, and that's awesome, by the way. Thank you for saying that. That's great. I think that's part of the reason why Harhound Weekend is one of the better shows, is because we're all like, we really are just one big family reunion of fans that come together for these. And I think that vibe comes through on the show. I think that's why so many people have such a great time.
I know. I always have a good time hanging out. And you know, when Horror Hound is at the other place in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. You know, I can always go to the Waffle House.
Well, and have you tried the Skyline Chili yet? Because Skyline Chili is the bomb. I got
to
tell you.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to. Obviously,
you know what? I will bring you some. I will bring
okay.
you some.
I like that.
I'm going to bring you
some. No, I'm a no onion chili guy, just so you know. I'm not an onion guy.
I'll tell them no onions.
No onions. And then I'm going from there to Iowa to do a movie. And the last time I went to Iowa to do a movie, I missed the Horror Hound because I got very sick in Iowa. So all that good Iowa food I couldn't eat either. This time I put the Horror Hound first so that I could actually not almost die before the show. I guess I'll maybe almost die after the show.
Don't die, Dan. We like you.
So thank you so much. So please, people should, you know, like they should go to DocShocker.com and bookmark it, because our documentary, Dr. Shocker's Vault of Horror, that I'm making with Chuck Williams and David Hanson Sturm, that'll be available soon. And I would love for people to go watch the Monster Debate and then vote for us for the Rondo Award. That would be a real blessing if they would.
This was my first year getting nominated for Rondo, too. I'm pretty excited about
that.
What
do you mean, for the show?
No, I was nominated for an article I wrote. I did the Walking Dead cast interviews and put them all together, and that's the article that got nominated.
In Horror.
How wonderful is that?
I was pretty excited. I got to tell you, I was thrilled. So congratulations to you for your nomination.
And to you for yours. You give it up for those little things, you can bowl. Lynn did not get... Lynn, we're going to write you in. We're going to write you in as favorite 30-year-old who can identify Matlock by name.
Yay! That's awesome. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time. I don't want to keep you any longer. I know you're a busy guy, but I can't wait to see you next week. And I mean it about the chili. I'll bring you some food.
She does.
I look forward to that. You know, I want people to understand the brilliance of the modern world. From the moment we started this debate, I was getting gas. And then I went and picked up my daughter at her meeting at church. They're starting a youth group. Like, I've done so much. And hopefully we've given information to people.
We have indeed.
But please come see me at Horror Hound. And if you are a virgin in the world of Horror Hound, this is the time to break that cherry. It's going to be a great show. I
yes,
can't believe
is.
I just said that. I just
With
said
your daughter picking
break,
up your daughter
at
a
cherry.
At a church group. A church group.
This is the worst moment of my life.
Oh, no.
She's making vomit faces. Well, remember what I told you earlier. See? All they do is take. They take.
Thank you so much, Dan. This was great.
All right. Girls, have a wonderful night, and we'll see you soon. And
you
Amanda,
too.
Thank you for all your help in the background.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan.
All right. We'll talk to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Roebuck embarrassing himself on national radio in front of his daughter, who he just picked up from church group.
I think he did it just to embarrass his daughter.
I think he did, too. It was his get back at having to have to sell some of his stuff to help her go to school.
Succubi.
Well, thank you guys again for listening. I hope you had a great time. This was fun for me. And Ren, I'm sure, had a great time with this. It was great. Yes, please join us at Horror Ham Weekend next week. I will be there. Dan Roebuck will be there. A ton of people will be there at the Sharonville Convention Center, March 22nd through the 24th. You can still get tickets. I think pre-orders are still available, but they're also available at the door at the convention center. It's going to be a great time. And this is also the only horror convention that I know of that has a water park night where we take over a water park, indoor water park. And usually the horror movie hosts show up in costume. So with that, I want to thank you guys. Thank you again, Ren, for being my Magneto.
Yes.
And everybody, thank you. Good night. And we'll see you next week. Next week's show is going to be uber special. It's packed. It's got two interviews we're going to have on the show. Mark Miller, who you may remember we've had on previously, who is the co-author of Clive Barker's new comic book that is a retelling of Genesis. Regenesis, I believe, is what it's called.
Genesis, like Bible?
Yes, it is the Bible. It is what happens when God comes back and he's not happy because we've screwed everything up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting and heady subject, and it's only the kind that Clive Barker can do justice to. And then on top of that, we're going to be interviewing the gentleman who was the author of The Road to Woodbury, and as well as The Rise of the Governor, and I hope I don't butcher his name, Jay Bonansinga, who co-authored those with Robert Kirkman. And Kirkman picked him specifically to write these with him, these novels. So, Walking Dead fans, more Walking Dead for you on Fangirl Radio. And with that, I want to tell you guys good night once again. And this is Fangirl Radio signing off. See ya.
technology. Machines to save our lives. Machines dehumanize.